Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Gentlemen, opening day is upon us, and I'm not talking about firearm deer season in Michigan, even though that happens to be the case this year. Instead, I'm talking about opening day for prep boys basketball teams throughout the state of Michigan. With this special episode, when this special episode drops, it will be Monday, November 15th. The girls in our state started practicing last week, but day one for boys practices is today. And what an exciting day, or cool day, however you want to term it. This is for everyone involved in the great sport of high school basketball. Fellas, before we get started, how ready are you for today, not to mention the next 4 months?
I'm very ready. The only thing holding back my excitement is I injured myself this past week playing morning hoops. And we were talking about this on our SEC White Preview Pod, which actually hasn't been released yet, about I was saying how I've been playing more. And lo and behold, I hurt my groin / possibly have a hernia. So I'm a little worried about my availability, but other than that, I am excited. I'm going to tough it out, even if I'm, you know, taking painkillers to get through it. But I'm very excited, all jokes aside, or my personal injuries aside, I am ready for the season.
So I have two questions. One, you know, you can't really ice that area, right?
No, not really.
And two, you know, where are you playing morning hoops?
We play 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. at the high school. It's a handful of teachers, a couple students play, and some former employees and former students come in and play in the mornings.
That's cool. Okay, very cool. I like it. And I'm enjoying listening to you talk right now, because if this podcast was, say, Friday, we wouldn't understand you because your voice would be gone.
True, yes. This will be the last time in a while here that my voice will be normal.
I'm really excited. I'm ready. I mean, this is like Christmas morning for basketball coaches. And, you know, it's a fast and furious start. And in same hand, it's a long season. So I'm really excited about it. I mean, we break the season up into many little segments. And obviously you play for March, but you got a lot of little goals along the way.
So that's kind of the purpose of this episode, is just to kind of talk about, you know, starting a season. From a coaching standpoint and from a team standpoint. And we're not going to belabor it, but we wanted to touch base on that a little bit today. And there are a lot of factors. I mean, obviously the experience of your team, how many players you have still playing football, like Chelsea, there are a lot of factors that go into how you approach the first few days or weeks. But I guess that's question number one, and get some responses. I mean, what is your, I guess, your philosophies heading into day one, the first week, maybe even the first 2 weeks? I mean, what are you focused on? Are you taking it real slow, or are you jumping right into things? I mean, how are you going about that with your kids and your program?
For me, it's kind of unique. Obviously, it's only my third year as a head coach, and this is the first time I've been at a school for the second season, right? So like I actually have everything in. So again, I'm not the best to speak towards this, but we've already got, you know, our base offense is going to be the same as what we did last summer, the same as what we did last year. So I don't have to go through those, you know, slowly through the basics of this is what we're looking to do in each of these situations. So I actually am planning to kind of more jump right in, just kind of get things going as fast as we can right off the bat with, you know, playing and all that, and then iron out the details from there as we go. I also think that that's a nice way for us to get in shape, you know, with a lot of guys coming out of football season. I'm a big proponent of, like, even though we're having tryouts the first 3 days, like, we're treating this just like it's a practice. I'm not doing any, you know, anything different than I normally would do if it was just a practice. We just happen to have a few more guys here those first 3 days than we will after that. So that's kind of my approach.
I take the same approach. It's practice. It's not a tryout. Like, you know, part of trying out and figuring out if a guy fits is, you know, can they pick up plays? Can they pick up drills? How do they disrupt or fit into your flow of practice? So, I mean, to me, I think the mistake a lot of young coaches make, and maybe even some seasoned coaches, is they run it like a combine and things like that. I mean, you hit the floor running, all gas, no brakes. Ooh. We get going. And, you know, I think that's the key to getting off to a good start. I would also, like Derek said, and again, we're all very similar when it comes to our coaching styles and stuff. Like Derek said, though, you know, this is year three from my return to, I'm sorry, year four to my return to high school basketball. And, you know, we had a great summer. Everybody played a ton, you know, JV and varsity. So, you know, it's refining a few things and knocking the rust off a little bit. But I mean, all of our, you know, stuff is in place, or at least all of our base stuff. We got a few new things we'll do this year that we didn't do last year. But I, you know, as coaches, we always learn and grow, right? Well, in the off season, one of the big things I heard over and over in online clinics that I attended that I'm going to give a shot to is, you know, the first week we're going to play more than we ever have. We're going to, and one for conditioning, but two, to have more film to break down, to have guys learn from that as well. So there's going to be much more 5-on-5 than I've ever done in the past. And we'll see how that goes, but I know the kids are excited about it.
You know, it's funny. I mean, we touched on this, you know, the type of team that you have, plays a big role in this. If you have, like, you know, Derek, for example, has a bunch of seniors. I mean, Josh, you have an experienced team coming, even though they're young, it's a lot of guys that have played. I know I have most of the guys that are going to be on our roster have played varsity last year. So that lends to kind of a jump right into it first week, opposed to, I mean, you look at like Coach Merrick over at Saline coming in where he hasn't seen his guys play a lot, and he has to really kind of build everything from the ground up, from his schematic parts. So, you know, he has probably a little bit different approach than maybe we're talking about. So it all kind of depends. You know, you mentioned the combine thing, and there's still a lot of coaches out there. I think girls coaches this past week and maybe boys coaches this week that still you're out there charting, you know, makes on, you know, how many threes you make out of 25, how many free throws you make out of 50, how many elbow jumpers you make, how many layups you make. You know, I think they're looking for some objective numbers to keep, you know, administrators and parents happy. And it's, this conversation came up when I was addressing our middle school parents, because I had to step in and I had to run tryouts for our eighth grade team because our eighth grade coach was busy with football. And I told him, I said, I won't be walking around with a clipboard and charting, because, you know, it's an experienced coach can watch kids play and they know. And I know that it's the tryout dates are the ones you're supposed to be making judgments on, but I don't think you need a numbers game. And heck, what if your best player doesn't shoot well that day? You're going to cut them. I mean, it's just kind of it's always been mind boggling to me when people are charting that. And I get it. There are some administrators, I think, out there that want their coaches to do that. So if they have to defend a decision to keep somebody, but I think the experience of the head coach is defense enough. That's probably another discussion topic. But, you know, Josh, you mentioned videotaping. Is that something you've done in the past? Is that, Derek, have you done it at all? I mean, you've got a system over there in your gym which allows you to do that, but do you guys use videotape to make decisions on personnel or just to help your team get better the first couple of weeks?
Not to make decisions on personnel, but just to help our team get better. And, you know, it's on me to tape practice right now, and we're going to do that. But, we're getting huddle installed. I actually just talked to Derek about this. It might've been 2 weeks ago, Derek, I was reaching out and talking to you, cause they have the system in place and we're getting it now this fall, or here prior to the holiday break. So practice will be taped every day, but I'm looking forward to that. You know, each coach will be assigned a 10-minute segment to break down and present a few clips the next day to the team. And then we're going to use it as a teaching tool and a great tool for the kids to go back and watch practice and pick up, but maybe they're not understanding the plays. The video play is much better to watch than, you know, we're running through our skeleton offense. That's the best way for a kid to learn stuff if they're not picking it up well at practice.
Yeah, we video it as well, just simply because we have a system that allows us to do that with Huddle Focus. I use it, you know, obviously when you're playing live, you can point out different things that you want to get adjusted, just like you would with game film. But I know last year, a few times I had to use it, we were doing a shooting drill, and I throw the video up there like, is this really how we should be, the pace we should be going at during shooting drills? So you can also, it's like, you have the eye in the sky there is for you to help out that. But again, not for personnel decisions, but I do like having that option. It's definitely very nice.
Kind of curious, you know, I mean, how many practice plans do you guys have done already? Like, is it just one, or is it, have you done the whole week or the first 2 weeks? and how far, I guess, how far out have you planned your install? Because that's out where you're obviously putting things in daily. I know last year I did a bunch of them and was ready for that first week. And even though I knew I was going to have to tweak them each day. And then of course we got shut down for 3 months and none of them mattered anymore. Practices were much different once we got started in January. But what have you guys done so far with that?
So again, just kind of inside the teacher world, I have more of a unit plan that I use as opposed to detailed practice plans. So I try to like unit plan out the first 2 weeks. And what I mean by that is I go through and I write down, this is what we want to get installed each day or what we're adding each day. And then, you know, I'll try and have like, you know, the first 2 or 3 days, so basically the first 3 days mapped out, like with the details and the drills and stuff we've got. And then beyond that, I just have, okay, we want to work on our zone stuff, or we're putting in our press break on this day, or our blobs on this day. And then that just kind of gives me a rough skeleton. And then I can go through the night before and actually write out the drills and the stuff that we add to it. That's kind of how I do it. I would like to kind of work a little more ahead of that. You know, I'd love to have a full week planned out and then I could still go back and adjust things. But time-wise, it's just not possible for me.
This is going to be boring for the listeners, but if you're an inexperienced coach or a coach that struggles with this, you probably should listen, I think. And I mean that, and it's a compliment to Derek and all of us, but I think we all do it the right way. And I, like Derek, I do a similar type unit plan, but not what I want to do every day. So I have a plan every week, what I'd like to have, you know, in by the end of that week. And it's really detailed to the point where, what do we need to be successful? Like for instance, early in the year, I'm putting things in that I think we need to beat a Trenton team that's going to 3-2 us, a Wayne team that's going to man pressure us and not switch. What do we need to be successful to ground to Sylvania? How are we going to beat center? And then I don't know much about Blackhawk Christian yet, but those things are in early. And then hopefully they lend themselves well to the next group through. A big focus early in the year will be things we do offensively against switching, because to get where we want to get, big picture, that we got to be really good at that. So I think those are the things, like every week you have to, I like to have an agenda of what we want to have in by the end of that week. You know, what do you want to have in by your first scrimmage, you know, and how many inbounds do you really need in that first scrimmage, things like that. And then I think practice plan wise, I have the first three done. I stop there always, because I to get too far ahead doesn't make sense. I'll give you a great example. When Derek coached for me, he was really good at this. And my assistants I have right now are really good at this. But like at the end of the first day, you're not going to get to everything on your practice plan. Something's going to go wrong. And well, at least there's a good chance of it. Or you did a drill poorly. So looking at that, you're like, hey, we need to revisit that tomorrow. Or, hey, we need to add that tomorrow. Or maybe you did something great on Monday and you're like, yeah, we don't really need to cover that on Tuesday. So you're always tweaking at the end of the day. I like to stay one day ahead. So going into Tuesday's practice, I want to have that plan and Wednesday's done. And then going to, you know, so try to stay one day ahead from there with the understanding you're constantly tweaking things.
Yeah, I don't have much different than what you guys said. I'm kind of an outliner, although I tend to tweak so much. And I'm even to the point where I don't have any patience as a coach. I have very little patience. I'll scrap things that I'm 100% sure I'm going to be using this year. And after 3 days, I'll get impatient and say, I'm just getting rid of that. And offensively and defensively, it's kind of crazy. And the kids kind of look at you different, but that's just kind of more my personality. The one thing is for sure with my basketball teams, and we'll be with this, we rarely get baseline out of bounds plays in time. We're throwing them in before the first exhibition game or scrimmage. We're terrible at them. We also don't defend them very well in exhibitions and scrimmages. And if you half court trap us in an exhibition game or scrimmage preseason, we'll turn it over about 10 straight times. Cause I never have that quite ready yet either, but maybe that's a goal this year, is to be better at that. But
hopefully Coach Moffitt's not listening.
Yeah, exactly. Coach Moffitt. Yeah. The 29th, the half court trap the whole time and 9 nice inbounds plays to defend. So this is another thing. Scheme is one thing. We got to get in our press breaks. We got to get in our offense. We got to get in our defense and all the different, particulars about that. But what non-scheme things are really important to you the first day, the first week, the first 2 weeks, and you're trying to hammer home, culture standpoint, whatever. Like, what are the things that you need to get across to your guys?
The first thing we want to do is make sure our kids clearly understand our motto and our focus for the year. And we talk about that a lot. The second thing we really want to get across the first couple of weeks is, you know, the factors we believe decide whether we win or lose games, and stress their importance over and over again. So it's something that the kids understand. We also have a, you know, a sign in our locker room with the five factors that we believe determine whether we win or lose a game, and a checklist of those things. And then the third and last thing is, you know, early on in a season, everybody's nervous. They're anxious. They're worried about them. Is really, you know, focusing on being a great teammate, doing the right things for your team, playing for Chelsea. And I don't have a lot to worry about with that. I only lost two guys from last year's team, but it's still a focus. This year, though, there'll be one new thing. We have decided to truly embrace and take on that five-quarter approach. We are going to have one varsity group of 20 to 21 kids, and I call it a varsity group. We're going to have the best 20 to 21 kids in our program practicing together to make up the JV and varsity. We'll have four coaches at those practices. We're going to run it like a small college basketball program where you got 20 to 21 guys at a practice. So that early on will really be important of how that's going to look, how that's going to work, making sure that practices are crisp, guys are getting plenty of reps, and that they embrace that. And what we really like the idea is then we get more of a flow between the two teams, and then more of that family culture, what we want. And I guess the last part of that is things will never be new again. You know, that we're always going to have 20 guys in our program that know exactly what the expectations are. So even if we graduate five or six, we got 14 more guys that know exactly what the expectations are. And I look forward to doing that. I'm super excited about this. And I stole this idea from Jim Barnes out in Oxford.
Yeah, those are some good things. I think for me, the biggest thing is just how we want to practice. I'm really big on having a good tempo at practice, making sure we're flowing through things, making sure our guys are going through, you know, drills the way we want them to, talking as much as we need to. That's something that we've got to focus on a lot this year. A few other things I'm going to try to add, really just is more for me to make. I need to do them early in the year, so I stick to them throughout the year. But I'm really trying to expand on that culture piece. Again, since I'm here for a second year, I don't need to install as much, so we can hopefully, you know, not have to spend as much time with going through those basics. I'm planning to try and have, and this is sort of stolen from Trope over at Chelsea. We used to have Zania Mondays or whatever. I can't remember what day of the week we did it, but in the similar sense, we're going to try and have culture meetings is what I'm going to call them. Where we'll start practice. Hopefully at least once a week is my goal. I'm going to force myself to stick to at least once, maybe even twice, where we're just talking for 10 or 15 minutes on one specific culture topic, maybe something that's come up in practice or something that in a game, you know, whether that's about how the bench needs to act, how, you know, how we, you know, should talk to each other communication wise on the floor, you know, just different things like that. Just trying to really emphasize like even some of the stuff Josh was saying about being unselfish, being team first. That's kind of my new plan for this year. Something I haven't done before to try and really, really focus on that. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's good stuff as well. I guess the three that I focus on, I have for years and probably even more so this year, effort, communication, and unselfishness. Like those three things I have to, like, I can't coach if we don't have those. And the effort usually takes care of itself early because everybody's trying so hard and they're trying to impress. But you've got to reward that. You've got to compliment that. And you've got to address it when it's not there. Communication. I don't think like last year, I don't think we were very, very good at communication, and then especially on defense, but it's an overall trait too. You want your teams to communicate really well and getting them to talk and teaching them to talk, not just telling them to, but actually teaching them what good communication looks like. Really important, I think, early in the year. And then being unselfish. I don't think you can be a good basketball team if you're not unselfish. And that, you know, that's pulling for your teammates, and that's taking the right shot, making the extra pass, not really caring about who gets the credit, but that the team does well, and getting that across. And again, pointing all of that out in practice is really important. So I try to make a big point of it. I'm kind of going, you know, I don't have a huge staff like they have over at Huron and even Chelsea for that matter. Even Derek's put together a little staff this year. That's kind of nice. So it's kind of on me. I have a little bit of help here and there, but that's really important. And that's a great way to use your assistant coaches too. So all good stuff, all good stuff. Do we know of anyone in the area? I don't think ourselves were doing this, that has, like, you know, kind of a unique, you know, first week tradition or first day tradition, like Midnight Madness, or they're going 2-a-days. I know Rex used to do that back in his younger years. Do we know of any local teams that are doing things like that, or not?
For some reason, I don't know if this is still true. I think Adrian did a Midnight Madness type thing there for a while, I think. But no, not that I know of. But yeah, I mean, does anybody have a green and white scrimmage at the end of the first week? You know, do they have an alumni game? You know, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know of many.
We don't have anything as of right now. I think I'm just got too many other things that I'm focusing on, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have something like that. I don't know that the midnight practice would be what I would want to do. I just think that, you know, you wouldn't get as much out of it, but I like what Josh's saying, whether you could have a scrimmage or in a squad scrimmage or an alumni game tied in right there. That would be cool. I don't know of anything. I think that those are nice program builders traditions to have. If you have, I think it's more common on the girls' side. I know, wasn't it Olivet that's done the midnight practice before with the girls?
They've done it with cross country the last couple of years. They actually out there running at midnight on the first possible day of fall sports and music.
Yeah, but they're not in school.
They're
not in school yet.
Correct. It's a whole different thing. Right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, of course, with in Olivet, our biggest issue day one is hunting season. We're trying to make sure we've got a situation where they can do a planned absence. As long as they're in back by midday, they can practice. And we usually make the kids be in school all day, but we got an exception for hunting season. But I still kind of brace myself for the kid who gets the big buck in the morning and then has some responsibilities in the afternoon and doesn't make it in. So I'm kind of bracing for that, but those are Olivet problems, man. I don't know if we have that. And I'm sure we got it in Napoleon and maybe,
yes, we do.
A little bit of Chelsea too, but just happens to be a beer season. So team models, Josh, we've gone over yours a little bit in a previous podcast, and you even referenced it today. All gas, no brakes. Are your kids excited about it? How do you feel about that model?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. It's who we are. I mean, it's easy for them to embrace. I mean, I think play fast, play loose, stay aggressive, you know, and next play. I mean, we just keep going. And we got to embrace it on both ends of the floor. And we want to create pace and we want to keep going. And, you know, I don't want them to have, you know, any doubts, fears, anything like that. We're just ready to roll. Let's go.
Derek, how about you this year? What are the Napoleon Pirates adopting, or at least the coaching staff adopting, as the motto this year?
Yes, I actually haven't even broken it to the guys yet. I know they're inquiring with me at the last 4-man workout as to what our motto was going to be. Because, you know, I last year I got them a shirt with our motto and stuff, and I'm planning to do that again. But I told them I'll let them know on day one, so we'll be going through it then. But I can this. You know, this podcast will be released in that same day, so I can divulge it. But we're going to go with substance over style. That's going to be our motto. And again, I think that's
perfect for your guys.
It is perfect. I've never seen a team that wears more chains and earrings and stuff than you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it fits us. I think, you know, we want to make sure that that's a key piece to start the year. I know my guys were joking with me that they wanted our motto to be shock the world, which I don't really think has any meaning, but they just think it's, I think they, you know, from Juwan Howard, they back in the day kind of thing. That one I don't think really fits us as well, but I think the substance over style, it might not be as fun as all gas, no brakes, but I think it's got good meaning for us, and it's something we can really stress with our guys all year.
It's a great motto. I love that. Now, your guys, that's why you don't let kids pick the motto. I mean, shock the world. How do you do that when you're the favorite? I mean, what are you talking
about? Well, I think their world's bigger than just their league, but they're trying to do that, but we're going with bringing one back from my 95-96 year at Willow Run, unfinished business. But and ours falls into, you know, we obviously did not get to even compete in the district last year, so we didn't even get a chance to see if we could make a run. And it was going to be a tough run anyway with Penfield and others in that. But that's part of the business that needs to be finished. And we also lost, you know, a league title. Basically at the buzzer, by Leslie got us in the second game, at the buzzer. So, and we'd like to take another shot at that. I wouldn't call us the favorite necessarily, but it's part of the business that we're trying to finish. So that's where we're going, and we'll come up with something else too during the season. I think the kids always try to, you know, your identity starts to develop as the year goes on, and sometimes even a second motto can emerge. And Derek and I were actually talking about that yesterday with the Shock the World thing that his kids have kind of generated. So as your season goes on, things occur. But I'm kind of curious what some of our other programs in the area have for models. Maybe we should pick some brains and talk about that one day as a kind of a separate segment. So
I got a job for you, Matt. You could reach out to a lot of these coaches and get their mottos, and we could put a little something on the podcast, social media outlets, and have a little vote on the best motto in the area.
Some people are afraid, I think, to reveal their mottos, though, because they're afraid, you know, other schools are going to use it against them and make fun of them or whatever. But I don't know that for sure, because a lot of times they're actually on T-shirts, so you're promoting it anyway. But you're right. I think maybe that would be something we can do at some point as we kind of progress, especially early in the year when we're looking for things to talk about. So I'm just hoping, guys, that we can get through this, not just the first day, the first week, the first 2 weeks, but the entire season without anything that's too COVID related. Is there anything that worries you guys? I mean, do you go about preparing your team differently at all because we still are in a pandemic and we have to prepare for pauses?
People like you talking about this like this. I mean, here's the thing is like, okay, it's been 18 months. Everybody that wants a vaccine's gotten a vaccine. Everybody that wants a booster can get a booster. Everybody over the age of 5 can get a vaccine. Like, here's the thing. It's time to move on. Okay. It is. I mean, if you don't want the vaccine, that's your choice. But the thing is stop like talking about fear and shutdowns and all these other things. I mean, wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. If you don't want to get the vaccine, that's on you. I mean, I think you owe it to society and everything to do that, to do your part. But at this point, I mean, hey, whatever, that's on you. I'm getting it. My family's getting it, but we shouldn't be talking about shutdowns. We're close to having a therapeutic, which is already in England. I mean, like, yeah, move on with life. It's time to move on. Okay. I mean, COVID will never go away. So at some point we got to make a decision, you know, like it's time to live life.
People like me. Okay.
Great. Well, I mean, you're talking about what's your fear of the
Hey, come on, man. We're just out there having a conversation, man. You know, you got to think of it from different views. I don't want it. I agree with everything you just said.
I know. I'm just giving you
people
back
like me. Come on.
No, you're not part of it, but you know those people I'm talking about. Right. I mean, it just
right.
I don't think for me, I'm gonna handle things any differently. I mean, if you were a like first year coach and you had nothing in, maybe you're trying to rush a little more to get things in just in case you got shut down. But I think that would just be detrimental in the long run. You just got to kind of go about your business. If it happens, it happens. You deal with it when it does.
I just don't think we can get there. I mean, we have over half the counties in the state aren't even wearing a mask. Now we're going to get to, I mean, I just don't see how shutdowns even come close.
I think he's talking more like if your program were to get shut down is what I'm thinking. Like you lose a week due to an outbreak amongst your team. Like, do you need to try to prep quicker just in case you lose a week and then have to play a game coming back? That's, but I don't think it's worth it to try and adjust based on that is my opinion.
Yeah. My team's vaccinated, so I'm not worried even considering worrying about it. I mean, there might be a kid that gets sick that we lose, but it won't be, you know, won't be there a shutdown.
I'm only a little anxious about it because I saw half our middle school go virtual for, you know, they're in the middle of that right now, and it cut out all of athletics. Now that may have been mainly because it's middle school and people don't give middle school athletics the same maybe priority that they do high school. So I'm a little anxious about that. Other than that, the only thing I'm anxious about is getting a team ready to play a shot clock game on December 29. I'm gonna have to meet with you guys on that one. Derek, you played college basketball, so you know about the shot clock and you know how it works and how the little intricacies that, you know, strategies. Josh, you coached at the college level, you know more about, and I obviously follow basketball, but getting a team ready to just those little things, you don't want to obviously want to overcoach it. I don't think we go very often. Do we take 35 seconds to shoot anyway? It's really more the end of the game stuff. I think I'm good with that, but getting your kids to understand it and getting them ready, that's exciting to me. But it also makes me a little anxious. So Good stuff, man. Good stuff. It is go time. Good luck to both of you guys and all the other area teams as the boys teams get ready. The girls, I know, had a great first week, at least everything I'm hearing. It's fun. And we're just a couple of weeks away from girls games and boys scrimmages and exhibition games. And this is what we all missed really last year at this time. So let's get after it. You guys have a good week. And we'll talk to you soon.
Have a great first practice today.
Yep.